Once again, I just want to welcome you to Navigation Church Online, church where you are. Why? Because you are the church. It is not a building. It's not a place. It's not a thing. It's a person, that person being you. My name is David Ampson. Welcome to Navigation Church's live stream. Possibly you're watching this after the fact. Either way, we're glad that you're joining us. As always, let us know that you're out there, especially if you're a first-time guest with us. On Facebook specifically, if you go to the About tab, there's a simple online form you can fill out, letting us know that you're joining us for the very first time. And today we are going to start a brand new conversation called, well, it's actually School of Hard Knocks. And the School of Hard Knocks is a theory, an idea, a thought that I've been kind of ruminating about for quite a while now. And it's because I should have a lot more diplomas on my wall than the one diploma I have from CLST. And here's why I say that is because I have probably learned more being on the job than learning about the job. And I wonder if that's true for you too. You went to school, you got your degree, you did all your papers, but somehow you got thrown into what we call the real world. And when you're on those streets, when you're in those cubicles, when you're talking to people, that's when real life starts taking over and your degrees, your experience, your life education goes through the roof. And over the last, 6 months, 12 months, I would say that God has taken me on quite a ride when it comes to the School of Hard Knocks. And the interesting thing is most of it's my fault, but he was faithful to give me a training. And so today, the very first thought I want to throw out to you is something that I want to call the origin story. I don't know about you. I am a superhero fan. Now, I'm not a comic book nerd, which, by the way, I don't think that's offensive. I think I'm allowed to say that. I don't get into the comic books. I don't read all the backstory on everybody. It's just if Marvel or DC or some type of superhero movie's coming out, I'm usually going to be one that's watching them. And so I do have this question, and I want to go ahead and have you post something. If you're here right now and you are a superhero fan, my question for you is simply this. Who's your favorite superhero? I want you to go ahead and type it in. We're watching for responses. We want to interact with you online. By the way, if you're out there right now and your first thought was someone like Deadpool, but you don't think you're allowed to post that because this is like a church site, don't be a chicken. Go ahead and post it. You know Deadpool would. So go ahead and throw that out there. Also, if you're a Green Lantern fan, I'm going to let you know. I don't know what's so wrong with that movie. I actually enjoyed it. I still like it to this day. But overall, who's your favorite comic, super book, or Marvel, DC movie hero that you enjoy watching that you've always kind of been a follower of? So truth be told, I don't have one. I couldn't name the one person that I like the most. But here's what I like about all, and again, I'm not an expert in this area. When it comes to any superhero or supervillain, one of the things that we know is they have a backstory or they have an origin story. And in their origin story, somewhere along the line, they're losing lives. They've lost everything. They're experiencing a tragedy that no one can possibly get through. No one could possibly come back from. But every one of those tragedies, every one of those stories, every one of those experiences is what's known as their origin story. It's where they discovered who they are. Their purpose in life was going to be. Possibly they fell into a vat of bubbling something and it disformed them or it gave them a superpower. And out of life's greatest pains usually comes the development of our greatest opportunities. And so I want to talk to you today about your origin story. Or could I maybe ask it this way? What's your superpower? What's your thing that you have that no one else has? What is the gift that you possess that is unlike anybody else's? What is your, let me ask this, what is the specific part of your story that other people may be able to relate to, but they never walk that journey? And in never walking that journey, you have a story unlike any other story. And so when it comes to this, I don't even know if you're aware of this, but I believe this about you. I believe you have an origin story. But the question is, can you find the greatest potential of usage of that origin story? I guess there actually there should be a second question asked there. Are you the hero or are you the villain? Are you the protagonist or are you the antagonist? Are you the person that everyone calls when they need rescue? Or are you the person everyone runs from when they see coming? Because I have a parallel story that I want to tell you about two people. One guy named Saul, another guy named David, both kings of Israel. And they both have very interesting origin stories. And I believe they both had the potential to be amazing heroes. But the problem is one becomes the villain and the other one becomes the hero. But what made the difference between the two? Where was the separation? Where was the start of one and end of another? And so we're just going to start talking about a guy named Samuel right now. Now, Samuel, if you don't know anything about him, go to your Bible. Some of you just only use apps, but if you have a paper format, start at the very beginning, you start processing through, you'll actually run into a guy named Samuel. Samuel was a prophet over a nation called Israel. Israel, if you don't know anything about the Bible, make sure to log that one in. There are huge part of the story, because they were God's chosen people that he came to, and in coming to them, he said, I want a nation that will follow after me, live according to my laws, rule the world according to the way I want to rule the world, and let me be their king. And so Israel was those people. And Israel got to the point where they weren't just a few tribes, but they were a mighty nation. They were in this place called the Promised Land. And while they were in this place called the Promised Land, they were having all these fights and wars with other tribes and nations and becoming very victorious. But there became a time where the children of Israel turned to God and said this, we want a king. We want someone who will rule over us. We want someone who will lead us. And in doing so, this prophet, who was a voice piece for God by the name of Samuel, came to these children of Israel, came to this nation, and said this, dudes, you do not want a king. And by the way, you're going to see a whole lot of this in chapter 8 of 1 Samuel. They came to Samuel and they said, we want a king. And Samuel goes, you're going to ask for a king and they'll end up being tyrants over you. They're going to take your best land. They're going to take your best people and they're going to have many wives and they're going to take anything that you grow. They're going to take a certain percentage of. And then after that, when they go to war, they're going to take your best sons and your best daughters and da-da-da. Like, laid out the worst sales pitch in human history of why you should not do something. When he got done with all of it, the Israels, they said this, they said, actually, we want it. And in chapter 8, verses 19 through 20, here's specifically what they said. The people refused to listen to Samuel. No, they said. They said, we want a king over us. That, ready for this? This is an incredible line here. They said this, then we will be like the other nations. Okay, so let's just pause there. Problem, in your origin story, God does not want to duplicate. He wants an original. And in your original story, here comes the problem. When you start saying, I want to be like everybody else, you will always end up running into problems when all you want to do is look like someone else, be like someone else, talk like someone else versus being an original you. And the children of Israel, when asked, why do you want a king? Here's what they said. Because. Parents out there, help me here. I know you're out there. How many times have you said to your children, why did you do such and such? And the response was simply this. Because everybody else was doing it. You get in trouble when you're just doing it because everybody else is doing. You know what everybody else is doing in the world right now? Everybody else in the world right now has a ridiculous amount of credit card debt. Do you really want to be like that? Supposedly, the average American, the average people who get married in this world, 50% are divorced. Now, I do not actually believe that that statistic to be true in the church as it is outside of the church, but I'm not here doing a marriage counseling or marriage seminar. We can wait till later on in the year to cover those stats. But I can tell you this, if one out of every two people that are, you know, are getting a divorce, do you really want to do it just because they're doing it? Or is there a chance you need to do it in an entirely different way in order for your origin story to be a little bit different so that you have a superpower that other people don't? And just in my own life, there is a lot of times that I actually say this, I come from a minority because I live in a single family home. My mom and dad were never divorced. No, none of my siblings have ever been divorced. And I feel like I'm becoming a part of minority there. And so do you do things just because everyone else is doing those things? And if so, is that really the origin story that you want? Is that really the background to your narrative that you need? And so the children of Israel said, yes, that's what we want. And so you end up continuing to read in 1 Samuel. You get to chapter 9, and the oddest thing happens. Saul, who will eventually become king, has to go searching because he lost a couple donkeys. Yes, welcome to the Bible, all. This is what's really in there. He lost, I don't know why this is making me laugh so much right now, but I'm forgetting how funny this part of it is, because you have Saul who takes off walking because he loses some donkeys. And in losing the donkeys, they say, how about we go to Samuel? He's the seer in this area. He's the prophet in this area. Maybe he'll give us some insight there. And I will tell you this, just a little insight for you to have. Most of the time, your origin story happens because of a tragedy. And so in losing the donkey, this is a major part of their revenue, their income, the way society was done at this time. And so can I say this? They lost a house. They lost a job. They lost their health. They lost mental capacity. Whatever it might be, a lot of times because of a tragedy, and we see this all throughout the comic books and every story that you've ever seen, out of tragedy comes the triumph of the superpower that is their origin story. And so, by the way, if you're in the middle of a rough time right now, and I'm very aware of the coronavirus, what's happening in our community, I don't care if you got a government stimulus or not, there is a chance that you're going through very difficult times. But I'm actually going to quote something that my wife said this past week that has stood out to me. Are you able to find beauty in those ashes? Because out of the ruins of our life, out of the pain and destruction that can be around us, after losing your donkey, is there a chance you can still find something powerful there? So in a bad situation, you may be looking towards the greatest origin part of your story. So Saul's out looking around for this donkey, and all of a sudden comes upon Samuel, and I love this. Samuel goes, hey, don't worry about the donkey. God didn't bring you here for a donkey. God brought you here for me. And so Samuel he fed him and he started prophesying over him. And Samuel actually said something powerful to him. He said, listen, you are going to be the king. And he anointed his head with oil. But then he says in chapter 10, verse 6, something beautiful. He says, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will be changed into a different person. Here's the thing that I need you to know today. When it comes to your origin story, the greatest change that you will ever have is when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When the power of the Holy Spirit overtakes you. The worst thing that I could possibly do, myself, Pastor Brent, Pastor Aaron, the entire team here at Navigation Church, the worst thing we could possibly do is to try to encourage you to change in your Christian walk merely by head knowledge of more reading, 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 doing, doing, doing. The greatest thing that we have as Christians, unlike any other faith out there, any other religion out there, we actually have the power of the Holy Spirit that can change us in a moment what all the counseling in the world can't change in a lifetime. And so when it came to Saul here, when it came to what Samuel was trying to say to him, it was simply this: God has an origin story for you, but you will not do this story on your own. You will not do this journey on your own. You'll not do this walk on your own. You will do it because you will be infused by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the greatest gift that we can have in our life right now is being empowered by that same Holy Spirit. And so Samuel sent Saul away, and Saul ended up going back home to his uncle, which of course the donkeys were there already. That's a whole different side note. You can read it for yourself in chapter 10 of 1 Samuel. And Samuel comes back home and he's talking to his uncle. And in verse 16, something very interesting happens. And by the way, this is about the shift that starts happening in Saul's story that you need to be aware of. In chapter 10, verse 16, it says, talking to his uncle, he assured us that he assured us that the donkeys had been found. But Saul did not tell his uncle what Samuel had said about the kingship. When it comes to your origin story, when it comes to your life journey, the most dangerous thing that you can do is to not share of the good things that you have found. Now, this could be in a relationship with Jesus Christ and you keep it all to yourself. This could be because you went through a life tragedy and you overcame it, and rather than being triumphant about your victory, you end up being muted about this journey, and there's other people around you that need to hear it, but somehow, I don't know, do you not believe what God is saying about you? Do you not believe the victory that you just came through will be a victory that stays? Let me ask you this. Do you not really think you're worthy of a win? Worthy of a life worth talking about? I don't know, but part of me wonders this when it came to Saul here. Was Saul relying more on his own power or more on the power of the Holy Spirit? I think it's something that we all have to ask, all have to deal with. But when it comes to your origin story, I would say this to you: relying on the power of the Holy Spirit is the most important thing, and knowing what God has to say about you is absolutely vital of the potential that is locked up inside of you. And so here's how crazy this is with Saul right now. Samuel ends up coming, gathering all these people of Israel and together. And we see this in chapter 10, verse 22. He gathers all these people together in order to proudly proclaim that Saul is their new king. The king that he said not to have. The king that they demanded that they had. They find Saul now. He anoints him. The entire group of Israel's together. Samuel's proudly proclaiming, this is your king. He says, come on out, king. And Saul's nowhere to be found. And they look around him, and it actually says this in verse 22. He was hiding among the baggage. Can we maybe say it this way? He was hiding among the things that he was carrying around that you shouldn't be carrying around, because you are more comfortable in your dysfunction than moving out in the new unction that the Holy Spirit has given you. You're more comfortable licking your wounds because of days gone by versus living with the scars that should be testifying of a war that you won. You have Saul. He's literally hiding in the baggage. I want to say this to you today. Come out of your baggage. Come out of your brokenness. Come out of the war-torn battlefields that you've been stuck in. And come live as the superhero that God's calling you to be, with a superpower that no one else has. It's just an amazing time here. And so during this time period, you have this whole ordination thing happening, and people like, okay, Saul's our king. But something else happens here. In chapter 10, verse 27, there was those that despised Paul, those that despised Saul, and Saul kept that to himself. If you allow false narratives to continue to ring in your head, and you do not have someone you can bring this to, someone that you can talk it to, or you know what we should call it? Your sidekick. It's your Batman and your Robin. Boy, I don't know enough about comics to be able, it's your Superman and whoever was his. I know right now, yes, I will go ahead and allow you to do this. Who are some other Batman and Robins out there? Help me out right now. Type them in there. Let me know what's happening out there. Because here's the thing. If you do not have your sidekick, then you'll always feel like you're getting kicked from the side. You have these voices, you have these words, you have these stories, you have these thoughts that come bombarding you, and you need someone to be able to take it to, which, by the way, in just a little bit, I'm going to have a very practical hands-on thing that I want you to do, and discovering who your sidekick is, who your partner in crime is, who that person to help you be the hero of the story and never turn to the villain will be. I have a very practical way for you to do this, and having that person in your life is so important. And so, you know what? Let me go ahead and just ask you this question. Who's that person in your life that can be your sidekick, that person you can go to that will always have your ear and you will have theirs in order for you to get out of your baggage and not believe lies, but stand on the hill that God's called you to be the king of your story? And so where does Saul's story goes from here? Well, you end up just keep reading along in chapter 13. He did sacrifices that he never should have done. Other people are winning battles that he should have been a part of. Chapter 14, he lived by a popular vote. This could be a sermon all into itself. Rather than standing up and making the declarations he should and living by the convictions that he had, he lived by a popular vote. And then chapter 15, here's the way I'd summarize that. He did right what was in his own eyes. And so now we have Saul. It's just kind of floating out there. But ultimately, Samuel comes back to Saul and says, listen, God's taken the kingship from you. You're becoming the villain of the story and not the hero of the story. But how do you become the hero and not the villain? If I were going to say, the big question that I would have for today's thought, this origin story in our School for Hard Knocks, how do you become the hero and not the villain, the protagonist, not the antagonist? And I would say that it comes down to one simple question. But for me to get to that question, I'm going to do a quick history lesson for you. Because as I start telling you the story about King David, many of you are going to know this guy because he fought a guy named Goliath. We still, anytime in even pop culture, fight your Goliath. It all comes back to this story. And we see in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel that David was actually anointed king over Israel, even though Saul was still there. God had replaced him. And the story goes on where Saul is eventually chasing after David, trying to kill him, trying to overthrow him. Just a very wicked man, if you could say this, kind of at heart, because he had a lot of baggage that he kept carrying along with him. He was listening to voices that he never should have listened to. And I don't mean that tongue-in-cheek. There were voices that he never should have been listening to. And so you eventually get to where David is king. But here's what David's kingship is, where Saul, he had sacrifices that he shouldn't. He was listening to people that he shouldn't. He did things that was right in his own eye. You look at that and you go, man, this is a really bad resume for someone to be king. What about David? By the time you get to 2 Samuel, in chapter 11, David decides to have an affair with this woman by the name of Bathsheba. And having an affair, he gets her pregnant. After getting her pregnant, he invites her husband home to trick the husband into being with his wife. So hopefully the husband thinks it's his kid and not David's kid. When the husband never ended up doing that, David had him killed. David had him assassinated. I don't care if he was out at war or not. Everyone's in agreement that David murdered a man. Then after murdering a man, something interesting happens in chapter 12 of 2 Samuel. A prophet, Nathan, comes in to David, tells him this interesting story. And in telling him this interesting story, David gets enraged. We got to go after this rich man who took everything from this poor man. And we're going to get him back. And there will be judgment upon this head. And Nathan looked straight at David and said, David, you're that guy. You're the rich man who took from the poor man. You're the guy with all the sheep, and Bathsheba was the one, and you had to have it for yourself. Something very interesting happened in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 30. When David realized this and what Nathan had said to him, David said, I have sinned I have sinned against the Lord. That's the end of that sentence. So why do I tell you all that about David and try to parallel him to Saul? Because there was a time when Nathan came to David, David's response was, I sinned against the Lord. But there was another time, and we see it consistently through Saul's life, when Samuel came to him. When Samuel specifically confronted Saul in 1 Samuel 15, verse 30, Saul replied with this, I've sinned, but. By the way, anytime you put the word but in a sentence, you delete everything that came before it, and you're about to say what you really mean. He said, but please honor me before the elders and the people of Israel. Saul was more interested in saving his face, saving his reputation, saving how everyone viewed him, than he was saving his relationship with God. David said, I've sinned against the Lord. And you come to find out, David didn't care if the entire nation knew about it. David took ownership of it. So how do you become the hero and not the villain? And I would say it boils down to me on this day, in this thought that we're having together. And it's simply this, broken people make no demands. See, I think by the time you truly become broken because of a life that you're living, a situation that you've had, an ideology that you live by, a true broken person realizes that it is so destroyed, there's nothing you can go back to. There's nothing you can try to fix. But people who aren't really broken can try to, they always try to make their world still work. Saul, despite being broken to the core, wanted to look good, wanted to be good, wanted to show good. But David realized everything about me is no good. And by the way, you know this. If you've ever been in a situation, maybe it's a child and discipline him. Maybe it's a spouse caught lying in an affair, doing something with the finances they didn't say were true. It could be a coworker that is fudging the numbers or changing what they said they would do. Anytime that someone always tries to shift and pivot and push off and blame others, they're not a broken person. You know the broken person when they said, you are 100% correct. This is all me. I take ownership. What do we need to do moving forward? I know this degree well. Because many of you probably know my story. Some of you might not. But I went through, I've had a lifelong struggle with alcohol. I'm an addictive personality, if you could say it like that. But I suffer from a disease where I always have an allergic reaction when I put alcohol in my system. And that allergic reaction is I can't stop drinking. And so it's not a healthy thing. It's not a good thing. And when I knew that I needed to take steps to get better, I tried to control my rehab. I tried to control the doctor, the care that I was going to get. I tried to control how I was going to handle the thing. And you know what happens as I tried to stay in control? And if I can say this, please honor me before my world and my people. You don't actually have control. The School of Hard Knocks teaches me this, that when you're out of control, you have to give the control to someone else. And in giving the control to someone else, a broken person makes no demands. Because the only demands that you've ever made in your life brings you to a very broken place. So where's the place in your life that you're still making demands? You're trying to control. You're trying to fix, even though everything that you've ever done continues to be cattywampus, dysfunctional, danger to you and everyone around you. Because God wants to make you the hero of the story, but God can never make you the hero. You'll only ever be the villain if you're continuing to make demands of how life is going to be in your world. Instead, what you would like it to be said is what is said in Acts 13, chapter 22. When it says, after removing Saul, he made David their king. And he testified of him this, concerning him, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart. Ready for this? For he will do everything I want him to do. What happens in your origin story if God wants you to fall into that vat that you don't want to be a part of? What happens if part of your origin story, you get the disease that you don't have an answer for? You lose the house, the family, the cars, the riches, the prestige that you worked so hard for? What happens if you climb to the top of the mountain, but you never get credit for it? What happens if your origin story is nothing but positive news, but you always view it from a different angle because you're sitting among baggage? I would say this, we need to learn to be broken people. And in our brokenness, something powerful can happen. That is when we find the greatest power of the Holy Spirit we've ever had in our lives. So in just 1 minute, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to kind of pivot where I'm standing because I have a very practical thing that I'd like to show you, an exercise. If you're a part of a NAV group, if you're at home today, if there's a small group, you can get them on Zoom and talk about this. I have the most practical exercise that I want to give you in order for you to help discover your superpower, your origin story, who your coworkers are, if I could say that, your partners in crime, your cohorts that you can rely upon. But before I do that, I want to say this. I think there's some of you that are listening to me right now that you are very broken people, and you would like this to be the beginning of a brand new origin story for yourself, and you find that superpower, and the superpower that I'm talking about comes from believing in the resurrected power of Jesus Christ, who last week during Easter we celebrated that he came out of the grave. But then in that you get the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, the power to pray like you've never prayed before, have understanding of the word that you've never seen before. It's a power that can overcome everything in life. And the way to get this power is very simple. It's believing that Jesus Christ has died for you, and now he's raised from the dead to live with you. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you that opportunity right now. Before we get into the practical, I want to give you the opportunity to say yes to Jesus Christ being your Lord and Savior. And if you're out there right now and you would like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to simply do this. Repeat this prayer with me. Say, dear Jesus, today is the day that I'm ready to be the hero of my story. And my origin is going to start in a relationship with you. Become Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins, and from this day forward, I follow after you. God, I thank you for every person that just said that prayer with me right now. I believe that you're out there. I believe that you said it, and I believe that you know it in your heart to be true, that this is the answer that you're looking for, and you're tired of being the villain. You're tired of being broken. You are ready for a new life found in Christ. I ask for you today, right now, Holy Spirit, come into that living room, car, bedroom, wherever they're watching right now. Holy Spirit, invade their atmosphere right now and let the presence of you be known. I thank you that you're doing this all over, not just our city, not only in our state, but around the nation right now, God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, by the way, if you just said that prayer, I need you to let me know. I want to celebrate this with you. This is a huge day in your life. Type a quick note in. Let me see that you're out there, and we want to celebrate that with you. And then for those that are still trying to develop your origin story, trying to figure out where you're at and kind of where your story goes from here, I have a very practical thing that I would like to do with you right now. And in this, I'm going to pull out three chairs. So here's what you need to do at home, especially if you're going to be doing this with your nav group. I need you to actually grab three chairs because this is an exercise of movement along with questions. And so here's the first thing I want you to do. And by the way, if you're in a nav group and you're doing this through Zoom, I need every home to have three chairs, and I can't have you just stand up and sit back down on the couch that you're in. There's something about moving through a process that you can do this. So this is going to be chair number one. And in chair number one, here is the question. And don't worry, we'll have these posted through the app. We'll have all these questions for you to be able to remember, to be able to go back to. So here's the question I have. Name a difficult time, life event that has happened in your life. The tragedy, the vat of bubbling oil or whatever it would might, toxic ooze would be the word I was looking for right there. Name that place where, can I say this, where, or here's how I'd say it, if I was sitting here right now, I've suffered. Can you remember that story? But then here's what I want you to do. In that thing, I need you to actually tell the story. Not just a moment, but relive it in your life. And here's the facts. Here's the kind of brass tacks about what we're doing here. When you're sitting in this chair, I want you to feel pain. And I'm not saying you have to cry. I'm not saying you have to get emotional, but if you could, put yourself back in that place, because here's why. There's a lot of times you become the villain of the story when you have bad actions plus bad thinking, you usually have bad outcomes. And so we need the thinking to be right, and I want to make you the hero of the story. So as you sit there, I want you to do this, because there's a lot of times in our life that we can't lower our moral values fast enough to keep up with our depreciating behaviors. We keep trying to get worse and worse because our behaviors are getting worse and worse, so we try to lower our standards. But the problem is, when you're in a downward spiral of becoming the villain of your story, you will never be able to keep your morals dropping as fast as your behaviors. So we want to relive this moment, and here's what we have to see. We have to allow the mistakes. We need those mistakes to humble you. Is better. Let me just read what I have here. A mistake that humbles you is better than a success that makes you prideful. So I want you to sit here in chair number one during the School of Hard Knocks and allow a mistake to humble you. That way we can find out what our true origin story is. And after you do this, this is the same person. You sit in chair one. After you've done that, you stand up. Come over here to chair number two. Chair number two, here's the question that I'd like you to ask. Name someone during this life event that showed up for you. Or here's a way to say it. I'm not alone. Our Batman to Robin, we always need those sidekicks that show up for you. Because a powerful way to deal with pain is to be okay with pain. Do you know it's okay not to be okay? Now, I'm not saying you live a life like that. I'm not saying that's the only place that you always stay and park. But I'm saying when it comes to experiencing pain in your life, that's okay. I've recently, just in this time of separation, trying to process my kids and all the emotions that they naturally have, trying to grow up and get puberty and, you know, facial hair and all this type of stuff. By the way, that'd be for my three boys, not my girl, but trying to figure out how to do this life. There was one of them that was just having a lot of emotions about it. And I go, buddy, stop apologizing for those. Now, if you were living those out, those emotions out, that's how you become the villain. But a true hero comes in touch with the emotions that you're feeling. But if we don't own our issues, if we don't own our pain, if we don't own the past, then those things will own you. So you have to own it while you're sitting here. But the question was, who was sitting next to you? Now, for all you religious people out there, and you want to say God was with me and the Holy Spirit was with me, I need you to check yourself. That's not what this exercise is. Who's the human? Who's the biped? Who's the breathing person next to you? Because ideally in all these chairs, we'll always feel the closeness of God. But here's the facts. There are times when you're going through pain that you don't feel God. You feel very distant. But that's because we sometimes think God comes through goosebumps. But sometimes God comes through close relationships. So what was the life experience that you had? Who was it that showed up there next to you? And then stand up, and it's time to move to chair number three. And when you get to chair number three, here's the question. Name the strength you now own. Name the place that I overcame. See, here's what happens if we end up doing this. It's not that we have to push away from regret. It's that we need to start pulling towards hope and the restoration that that brings. And so in this, if we always just stay in chair number one, and this is what I did, and this is who I am, and this is what I have, versus this is what I did, here's the person that was next to me, and here's the superpower I now have coming out of this, we sometimes need to rewrite our past in order to make us the hero of that story. And how do you make yourself the hero of the story? You view this as an origin of that superpower. You know, for me and the story and the journey that I have in my life, I could be living with guilt, shame, and regret. But if you think about it, that's the terms that you would put to a villain, not a hero. So I thank God for the journey that I went on. I thank you for this horrible life experience. But I can name the people that have been around me that is, in terms that I would use, a sobriety network for me that I can live here now and be comfortable looking into your living room, into your eyes today to tell you this, that I've become the hero of my story, not because I rewrote how it actually happened, but I rewrote it to be the origin of who I am now. And that school of hard knocks was so worth going through because I am equipped stronger than I've ever been equipped before. I'm healthier than I've ever been before. And yes, there was a cost for that diploma, but now I proudly hang it on my wall because when it comes to this school of hard knocks, the origin story is where it all starts for me. So I appreciate you tuning in to Navigation Church today. I hope something that I said today really sticks out to you. Right now, I just pray for every person out there where Saul was so easy not to believe that infusing of the power of the Holy Spirit would change him. I pray this day you have a greater understanding who the Holy Spirit is, what he is here for, and how he can forever change your life. I pray right now that anybody who's listening to me, that you are really struggling, maybe with doubts, concerns, or worries because of this coronavirus, I speak on this day that you begin getting a superpower, your origin story, that you are more than enough and you are a conqueror. I pray that those that are believing lies, you start speaking truth, and that's just part of your origin story today. I pray for those of you that are living among the baggage, that you can't seem to get away from it. I pray that there's a Samuel that comes along your way and pulls you out of chair number one and establishes you in chair number two, and you see that you do not need to live among that baggage. And I pray for every person that is listening to me right now. Actually, I'm just going to pause there. I pray for health in your body. I pray for health in your life. There's someone here that is listening to this, watching this, that you've been needing just someone to agree with you that you're an overcomer. I just pray for that right now. And now for everybody, I just pray that your origin story of this hero, of a place, what is the strength that you own now? I pray that it becomes a true testimony to everyone around you that that is who you are. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thank you for allowing Navigation Church to help you take your next step in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ.